it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like.
And this afternoon, those missiles are ready to go, so they say. Welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambill. I'm the host of this program brought to you by Watching for Jesus Network. And welcome. Family, today I'm going to talk a little bit about this Ebola hoax, which melds into other areas of what's going on with this humanist agenda. The more and more I study this humanist phenomena, I can't think of another word for it, I'm finding how this is the religion of the Antichrist to lift up, exalt mankind, to fool mankind into thinking that they're gods, or can be gods, in the Aquarian Age, working on Freemasons, secret society members, witchcraft, and getting ready for their fall once they think they're gods and goddesses and godettes and whatever else they want to call themselves. He's going to take it, snap it away from them, and make them worship Lucifer, including the atheist, or you die. Now, that's where it's headed. That's in a nutshell. This is the bottom line of what's going on today. There's major assaults on the current system we've had for the past centuries is now being assaulted massively by those claiming to be quote-unquote Christians are now saying, gosh, I think we made a mistake. The King James Bible is not the true word of God, that it has problems in it. And that's really a lie that can be refuted easily. However, you have a major assault by groups of Calvinists of the highest level, international level, professors, theologians of the highest order that are assaulting the King James Bible as they are what we call activated. Told now to switch sides. It's like, now? Yep. Okay. And they'll switch sides like just like that. Kind of like you're playing a sandlot softball game. Or baseball, whatever. Or football, or whatever. And you have a handful of them on your team that are really from the other team, pretending to be on your team. And they'll have fumbles. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I fumble it? I didn't mean to. Or they'll put in key positions on the football field or on the baseball field. They'll, I got it. Oops. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the ball. oh, my mistake. Or they'll draw fouls or clip somebody to on purpose, designed that way. You're wondering, are they that dumb? Or are they just, okay, man, try to do better next time. Oh, I will. When actually they're being used by the other team to cause you to lose or to hink it. That's Jesuits. Lying, murdering Jesuits. I say it that way because they take an oath to do just that by design. And when I say murdering, I'm not being emotional about it. I mean it exactly that. They murder, they destroy, they kill unmercifully. They take a blood oath to do so. You can read it yourself. It's horrifying. And yet they still say, oh, I'm Christian. Oh, I love the Bible. I love the King James. It's my favorite Bible. And then when you turn your back, they're trying to take it down in subtle ways. And that's called the fifth column strategy. I'm telling you exactly. We had the greatest loss of American life, of American service, American soldiers, in the Civil War. 500,000 plus. Now, that's not counting the civilians, of course. Controlled by the French and the Germans, which were controlled by the Rothschilds of both sides of our Civil War. Exactly in the same way they control the Japanese and the Russians. The Rothschilds are foot soldiers, sort of the hierarchy. They're just but human hybrids. Literally. And so they do, we're using the money and influence and so forth, working with the Jesuits. Lincoln confirms in his own quotes, he came out in the public, whistleblower you might call him later, confirming that the Jesuits were the cause of the Civil War. Without their influence, you wouldn't even have a Civil War. Greatest loss of life in American history. Blame them too for sinking of the Maine. Blame them too for World War I and every citizen of every country that was killed in that war. You name them, number them. It's staggering. And World War II, and I have evidence of that with quotes from historians that weren't bought off by the Vatican or the Illuminati or Freemasons with a blood oath of vengeance against mankind, pretending to be on your side. Because they have a greater sight than you realize, is for them to become saints in this new world order. Their ticket to heaven is to pretend like they're on your side, and each degree they go up, they get further and further away from their own salvation and heading toward hell and taking their families with them. And these are facts, I'm telling you. I have no animosity. I'm just telling you what's going on, period. Well, the Jesuits were responsible for the Civil War, sinking of the Maine. Oh, I got testimony. Edward Bernays, and I got testimony from other legislators, representatives of Congress back in the 30s and 40s that just come right out and tell you. Yeah, oh yeah, it was sinking of the Maine was a dialectic. It was a false flag. So was Pearl Harbor. Family, every soldier, Marine, sailor, Air Force, that's died at Arlington Cemetery, every single one died for prefab wars where the determination of the winner was already made before the war ever started. And this can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Denial is the only thing that keeps people from realizing the truth. I bet you if I was in an auditorium and said this, it's going to be one or two reactions. One, somebody would say, get a rope. The other would be total, absolute silence where you could hear a pin literally drop. But these are facts, I'm telling you. It upsets our entire core belief, education system entirely, but we've been kept in a fog. Now, here's the catchy part. They're bringing all this out now. So in essence, controlled opposition working for them, pretending to be on your side, And the way you can tell is they're high level truth tellers, whistleblowers, that are still alive. The ones that were not working with them were real whistleblowers, were telling whistleblowing, were whistleblowing at the wrong time, too soon, are dead. Barry Jennings, Aaron Russo, Bill Cooper, Princess Diana, Benir Bhutto. The numbers, and then they kill them before they even begin to become whistleblowers. They won't take the chance. This is reality using nihilist. This has nothing to do with movies, family. This is a reality. What agenda are they under? The Humanist Manifesto. 1, 2, and 3. Guides them to the new age of mankind, the Aquarian age. They think is going to happen. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to get into it today. And we'll talk about a lot of issues and see where we end up about today. What I'm talking about, people don't like to talk about. When you show them evidence or a preponderance of evidence or a list of facts to lead you to a conclusion, they don't want to see it. Well, I'm sorry. Not wanting to see it, don't make it go away. It's going to stay there. Ignoring it. It's like someone says, well, you know, we think you have cancer. I don't want to, leave me alone. You got to go there. I don't want to go. I don't want to get checked. I don't want to know. So you don't even pray about it. You just ignore it and go to Hilton Head and play golf or whatever, fantasy football, and you pick out your best quarterbacks in the fantasy football game. And you're looking forward to the Super Bowl, aren't you? When the Super Bowl's over, yeah, you're looking at your fantasy football. Then you're looking for, I don't know, winter sports, and you're looking for the next Super Bowl. Got you busy, don't they? That's the whole purpose of it. So you won't know what to pray against. You won't know what, in spiritual warfare, how to deal with the supernatural. The churches are failing miserably. Horrible. Every church. You might have a sporadic few in different places. But even the preachers that know the truth about the Illuminati, know the truth about Satan's plans and so forth, can't really bring it up to some of the congregations because they would not be able to handle it. And I know for a fact, two of them that I've run across in my travels in the past two years thereabouts, were warned by Freemasons within their congregation to stop preaching about the sins of the Bible, fornication, etc. Just need to talk about other things. You understand me, preacher? Okay. All right. Because they run the churches. 501c3 churches, the government runs the churches, tells them what to preach, what Bible to use. If they don't, they're going to pull the tax exempt status will be pulled. That's the hammer they use that you don't know about. It's like a mafia in your churches. The National Council of Churches is communist, subversive, as confirmed in 1936 as Federal Council of Churches, which became the National Council of Churches, by Naval Intelligence in 1936. Confirmed. It's subversive. It's communistic. And it exists today exactly in the same framework as it was funded by the Rockefellers. Fact, that's how they control them. Just like the NEA controls the teachers and tells them what they will and won't teach about. If they go outside that and said, I'm going to teach what I think is best, they will not be a teacher any longer. You see how it works? That's reality. But third time, this is going to be cut short when Jesus Christ comes back. But in the meantime, the tribulation is going to get people's attention. Let's get started. Lord, we thank you today. Father, bring us together again in this Bible study, in this broadcast. And Lord, that we share the gospel, we share the truth, Lord. We come together as one. Father, we pray that you'll spread out the truth, Lord, to all of us, to wake us all up, Lord, to give us that discernment and wisdom that we need, Father, to see through the deception. We pray for our brethren. We pray for our family members. We pray, Father, for those we don't even know, that, Father, you'll bring us together in a divine appointment that we can share the gospel or share the truth with others. And, Father, for us to learn with others as well. We share back and forth. Lord, we thank you for the King James Bible, the true word of God, that, Lord, we know the attack is going upon it. And, Father, we know that they're trying to discredit it, Lord, in order to set up what's coming next in this disclosure. Father, we pray that you'll strengthen the resolve of those that know the truth. Father, to give them the words to speak and times to show and use the King James Bible as the true word of God. Father, we pray for our families, for their healing. We pray for those that ask for healing, Father, in this program, that, Father, you'll go back and you'll look and Father, revisit those prayers. And Lord, that you'll heal those ones we prayed for in the past. All those we prayed for, and the families, to bring them together and protect the children with the blood of Jesus, that, Father, they're going to be attacked on the outside to destroy the families. We need, Father, your Holy Spirit to protect those children. Protect those that are away from the family groups that are sliding away, that, Lord, you'll bring them back with conviction. Father, we pray for an awakening in this country, the watchmen to come out and start preaching the truth. We know, Father, that they're all going to be targeted. But, Father, we call upon you to let us have that knowledge and wisdom and discernment that we can have the opportunity to speak out in public, to be able to bring our attention to others. It's going to bring others to attention of the truth about what's going on today. Father, we call upon you to tear down the protection of these Wicca, to tear down the protection of these Luciferians, and tear down the protection of those in the government that are working under this humanist agenda. Father, we may see their exposure, to see their deception, and, Father, to expose them with their own words. For, Father, to give the courage to those that are possible whistleblowers to come out, Father, and tell the truth. Father, protect the soldiers and protect the Marines, Father, that are thinking about these suicides. And, Father, to guide them in the right path. You know the hearts, Lord. And protect the children, especially this month, Lord, that many will be abducted. Many are already abducted, being used for sacrifices of the satanic worship going on today at the highest level. Father, we call upon you to have some to escape and families to be comforted for those who are missing. And all these things we pray, Lord, against this witchcraft, against their hexes and their vexes and all their charms and their psychic prayers and psychic warfare, Father, to be countered with the Holy Spirit. But, Father, for those that you break down their protection, that you bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts, and let that serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus, even them, that, Lord, through covenants can be converted, and the sacrifices taken away and protected. That, Father, through your Holy Spirit power, that you'll use the weak to make strong. These things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Do we say that prayer as a mantra of some sort before a football game? We did when I played football. We did in other events and whatever, but football primarily. We'd say the Lord's Prayer. We'd say it's a fast. You had it memorized, you know, and you'd say it because I guess it, you know, made you feel better or something. But does God really bless you when you win a football game? I mean, is that a blessing because I won the state championship? How's God edified when we do all this? And this pains me to say these things. But how's this, because I was a part of this. And I know sports can be used to help people. Help the kids get confidence, et cetera, et cetera. But what do we really use it for? Really? Do we edify God in these events? Granted, they are helpful and they can be used, absolutely. But in the majority, how is it really being used in your school, in your community? How's it really being operated? How's it really being handled? It kind of, when you start learning about how the humanists move and how they operate, and you see them win the, I can't think of all, I don't even watch sports anymore. at all. They win the cup, they win the football silver thing, they win all these trophies, and they kiss them and pass them around. They hold them up. Look what we won. We won this. Let me touch it. I want to touch it. You touch it. What does that remind you of? When we talk about the bull, the bullock, it reminds me of the representation of the bullock, the sacrificial bull of the occult for good luck and whatever is what the representation is of Wall Street. That's what that means. That's what that is. Right in our own country. That's what that means. The occult rules this world. The humanist agenda for now, as God allows it to happen. And there are certain things they can't do. Certain levels they can't go. Don't you know, if they had total control, they would have had a world order back in Nimrod. But they failed every time. In our own country, we had six. I'm not going to go over it right now because I have so many times. My regular listeners have memorized the, you know, the audios that I've played and the about how they've set up dictatorships, but they've failed every time. I've played it so many times, my regular listeners can memorize it. I say, oh gosh, is Tom going to do that again? But I have played before in my previous broadcast, and archives you can check. At least six bona fide, guaranteed, with evidence and testimony. You can actually, I can play it, hear it right here in the actual testimony of how they've planned six dictatorships in America and failed each one since 1933. Well, actually, 1865, but since in the 20th century, since 1933, at least six with testimony. I put it in order. I've searched through the video, you know, audio in YouTube, and they've actually got it there. So when you look back and say, "Wow," you pull them together, you start connecting dots, you see a pattern of actual testimony. Right there it is. Then you fill in the dots, you fill in the spaces, and right there it is. Once you do the research on it, and you see a pattern, that's virtually irrefutable. Here's the point. They have failed to accomplish that. Why do you think? Because God's in control. He is in control. Totally. But he's allowing certain things to happen, certain events to happen, which will lead to their destruction. But they, here's the point. They'll have opportunity themselves to get out of it. They'll have opportunity to say, I've done this and I've heard this and I've heard that. I'm not doing this anymore. And they repent in their own home or on their way to work or on their way home from work or wherever it is. God will ping their heart because he knows their heart, and they'll break down right then, right there, and give their life to Jesus Christ. And others won't. They'll just harden it, toughen it up. Then they'll put them over to a reprobate mind because they've denied the Holy Spirit too many times. And God will say, okay. He will not allow them the opportunity anymore to accept him as their Savior. It's called, look it up, a reprobate mind. He'll turn them over to a reprobate mind to seal their doom. That's important to know. Because you do not want to be there or be one of them that it happens to. Because that means your fate is sealed. And you will not repent because you will not know to. Romans 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Second Titus 3, verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And Titus, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 3:8. My mistake. I apologize. 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. And Titus 1, verse 16 is what's happening today. Listen very carefully. They profess that they know God, but in the works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That is very important, because the times are coming. This is a reality, not the exception. Now, I'm going to talk about some things that today, wherever God leads me, that I'm going to expose some issues. Ebola, I'm going to start with right now. And then this communitarianism, I'm going to briefly discuss about this thing called communitarianism. I want to once and for all put that to bed, because that seems to be the thing everybody's talking about on various places. Everybody discusses communitarianism. Well, I found a link to that sucker. I want to put that in the rest. Oh, these people are sneaky. I'm telling you what. This Ebola going around, let me put it to you like this. It's a hoax. Are people going to die from it? Probably. Is it a pandemic? Nope, not yet. You say, well, why would they want to do a pandemic when they're in danger too? I see heads going up and down. Isn't that what Pat Robinson, 33rd degree Mason, would say? I see out there heads going up and down. I see somebody. No, they don't. He's a 33rd degree Mason. He's a member of the Council of National Policy, which is a right-wing subversive group that's under the Council of Foreign Relations. That's the Council of National Policy. Look up, and it surprised me about the list of members of the Council of National Policy. Surprised the dickens out of me who they are. Shocked me. You'll find the members of CIA pretending to be Christian. Missler, Chuck Missler. I could not believe what I saw. Members of the Council of National Policy. It's a right-wing secretive group working for the Illuminati. They pretend to be First Titus. Just like I told you, profess to know God and they keep you tied up. Ebola. I started looking around. You know, now's the big thing about Ebola. Now it got to the United States and it's down in Mexico, supposedly. People have died from it and so forth, so they say. Then they keep coming out with articles saying, well, 100 people might have been infected with it and so forth. They keep putting these articles out. They make them what they call viral. You know, throughout the United States, they'll do one article, make it viral. And people that don't know how the Illuminati actually works will say, oh my gosh. So everybody starts wearing, you know, things around their face and all that. And the idea is setting up for vaccinations. Now, there's nothing new under the sun. Anything they've done, anything you can think of, has been done already. All right, so I'm starting to look around a little bit. And I found, going back to 2009, a very interesting set of reports. One of them specifically, back in January 2009, it said, swine flu getting focused, but so far it's not deadly in the United States. But since January, it says in this article, it's dated April 28th, since January, more than 13,000 have died of complications from seasonal flu. Really? And this says worldwide, annual death, worldwide now, from the flu, estimated between 250,000 people and 500,000 people. Big variance there. About 9 out of 10 flu deaths were among the people older than 65. So old people, you better get your shot, right? And they make it free for you. Oh, and you go into your doctor or the VA, when you're a veteran, and I'm a veteran, you go in, they always look at what you want to look at, whether it's your knee, your ankle, your whatever reason you're there for. They'll always ask you, what do you want your flu shot? Or your there's another shot they ask you about. I always say, no. And I had one doctor there in the VA said, well, why not? I said, well, because I just don't want the shot. I don't like needles in my body. I'm scared of needles. He said, well, oh, you're like, I'm really going to hurt you, huh? Why don't you get your flu shot? He tried to convince me to get my flu shot. So I started wondering, well, why is he so interested in me getting my flu shot and trying to convince me to buy it or to get one like he was trying to sell me a Fuller brush? Should I just not be no and that's it? No. He's trying to convince me, make me feel guilty. Oh, like I'm going to hurt you. I'm thinking, oh, this is the same stack that said use it for selling me a Fuller brush salesman or something. So, started looking deeper into it sometime later and found out why. The vaccines are what starts the pandemic. The vaccines have mercury. The vaccines cause autism. The vaccines cause, in the year 1952-53, actually is confirmed by the very CDC that 1952-53 in the baby boomer births, that'd be me, that they put between 30 and 90 million vaccines, they put the cancer vaccine, which is made in the laboratory, by the way, in the polio vaccine. And now they're having babies today die from too many vaccines. And the idea is to reduce the population, not help you. The plan is NSSM 200, Kissinger and Haig, NSSM 200, 1973, a plan to depopulate. It's right there for you. Kissinger and Alexander Haig, both of them evil to the core. And then it's furthered, 1973 to the 80s, under another Luciferian Satanist named Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter drafted up Global 2000 to continue the depopulation plan. That's a fact. And Jimmy Carter is signing a treaty in the Panama Canal area, allowed or caused by design now. This is not accidental or some misstatement or misstep. It was by design in the 1970s, 77, 78, signed a treaty of some sort. I don't want to get into it in deep detail, but here's the bottom line of it. To allow the United States to leave the Panama Canal, thereby leaving a vacuum of jobs that's not there anymore to be filled by China by design. That was a chess move to bring China into the North American continent, and from Panama Canal, they wait till it's forgotten about. Then they move to Mexico and start building the Chinese military bases. Understand? You with me? And also be able to back and forth with Cuba. See, Castro was a Jesuit. 7 years. Jesuit. Castro. CIA. We put him there to set it up. You understand this? So China built military bases in Mexico, when they finally moved in, gave jobs to the Panamanians that was left a vacuum of, so it's readily acceptable. They were welcomed. So they have bases in Mexico, allowing them to invade the North American continent, as Chinagate, Clinton, all of them, setting it up. They work together. So Clinton allowed the Costco, which is Chinese merchant systems, Costco, you know Costco, don't you? To operate at a Long Beach Naval Base. Well, you know, if you're going to have a military operation, you got to have supply, don't you? Well, look up Chinagate. They're all traitors. And Luciferians, humanist. See how it works? So your Ebola, back in 2009, was supposed to set up the pandemic. They've always tried, but God is always there. They try to convince people to get a second shot. Two shots would cause a cyclone storm. They have in this article by Doug Gross, Regular Flu's Killed Thousands, it's a very strange paragraph. It says there's been no confirmed death in the United States related to swine flu as of Tuesday afternoon. But another virus has killed thousands of people since January and is expected to keep killing hundreds of people every week for the rest of the year. I guess he's got his crystal ball. People are nervous about swine flu, but the regular flu kills 36,000 people a year in the United States. An outbreak of swine flu that suspected more than 150 deaths in Mexico and has sickened dozens of people in the United States and elsewhere has grabbed the attention of a nervous public. You're nervous, right? You're nervous. You better be nervous now. And of medical officials worried the strain will continue to mutate and spread. Where's Ebola come from? Swine flu, and Ebola, and HIV, and all this to cause fear in everybody. Like Fukushima. Whatever happened to Fukushima? Poof. Couldn't use it anymore, could they? Not yet. They'll bring it back up again. The report looks at deaths in 122 largest cities, and worldwide, the annual death, they just hammer it, hammer it, and hammer it. They want the older people to get the vaccine so they'll die. You see, if it ever happens. They want to get rid of old people, bring in the younger people that are under the control of the Illuminati. This is a humanist point of view. I have given you all many times their agenda to kill off the old people, control the young people. Bring the digital tattoos on the skin to control. That's the mark of the beast. They've got to set you up so you'll accept it in very sneaky ways. It's called the Gillian dialectic. Now, in 2011, September the 15th of 2011, about 2 years later, they came out with an article, "Flu deaths are caused by immune system storm." Did you know that the HPV shot with Gardasil is destroying young girls' lives? Destroying them. All of them? No. Of course not. Not all of them. But most of them that don't know it's destroying them is making it where they cannot have babies. And the ones that do have that shot of HPV, I didn't make a mistake, HPV, that's given to them at 9 to 12 years old, and even before they get out of high school. And cancer doesn't really happen to about 50 years old, so, And the shot only lasts about 5 years. So what's the deal here? When you get the shot HPV, for example, it puts HCG, Hotel Charlie Zulu, HCG, golf, I'm sorry, HCG in the system. It puts it there. Now, when a young girl gets pregnant, she has naturally created HCG, and what happens is the two collide, it's already in the system, causes a miscarriage. Hence, no birth. It's coming for HPV shot. And those lying doctors and misinformed nurses are promoting it, just like these drugstores promoting the flu shot, just like they're doing in the VA. Now, sir, do you want your flu shot? Oh, it's not going to hurt you. It's just going to help you. They don't tell you it's got mercury in it. They don't tell you it causes autism. It don't tell you that it gives you the flu. They don't tell you it's got formaldehyde in it. don't tell you they got triamcinolone. It'll tell you all the stuff in it. Some of them may not even know. But their job depends on them to ask you. Now, flu deaths. It's not always the virus that kills the body's production of molecules called cytokine, K-I-N-E-S. When you get sick with the flu, it's not always the virus itself that's to blame. In some people, the immune system, the response to influenza, can be so overblown that it's the very cause of sickness. Studies have come out to prove this. They have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Researchers uncovered some of the proteins in the body responsible for this reaction. Some of them say that the drugs that target these proteins could ease a severe inflammation caused by the flu. But Dr. Hugh Rosen of the Scripps Research Institute in Loyola, California, he says blunting the patient response may be, in fact, provide for a better outcome. And this Rosen and his colleagues suppressed this hyped-up immune system response in mice and found that the animals were more likely to survive, they say, a flu infection and have it produced. But most of the severe cases of influenza, includes deadly cases, are caused when the body produces too many immunity molecules called cytokines. And the sudden release of the cytokines is dubbed a cytokine storm. They help the body respond to infections, but the storm leads to widespread inflammation. Now they say, in the other articles I've read, quote, Rosen says, if you look at the 2009 flu pandemic, where millions of people got sick, and many of the people who were hospitalized or died are those that had significant amounts of cytokines in their blood system. They even say it themselves. So they give you the vaccine, they give you another one, and that starts it right there. And they're not telling people that. Because a humanist wants to depopulate. So if you think for a second that when they had the ice bucket challenge for MLS, they're the biggest liars ever was. The people, they don't want to make people well. The humanists want people to die. Because it's a depopulation plan. As a matter of fact, studies that come out of Harvard can never be trusted. The Rockefellers gave $20 million even back to the 1950s. You know they haven't stopped. John D. Rockefeller's gift of $20 million for the purpose of advancing Protestant theology at Harvard School of Divinity. They gave $20 million. Rockefellers, Illuminati. That's why you have corrupt churches today. And the teaching, Harvard would set the example, would it not? Well, here's what they do. It's the same thing for all of their programs. Is the Rockefellers are taught in the same way all the Illuminati are taught to make philanthropic type gestures in medical, religion, and other areas. In the same vein, we'll say, like in the early part, let's say, for example, in the early part of the century, of the 20th century, they orchestrated the massacre, brutal massacre. The Rockefellers purchased a private detective agency of just roughnecks. And they massacred at Colorado Fuel and Iron business, a march that was conducted by the workers. It's called the Colorado Fuel and Iron Massacre of their men, women, and children. And it set up an outrage in the country. Well, to take the heat off They set up the Laura Spelman Rockefeller Memorial. Laura Spelman. Isn't that nice? But it initially was entirely devoted to charity at the beginning of it. Just like your MLS donations. Same, it's all for all of them. And support of churches in this case. But when the public attention was diverted, the monies went to support of subversion and, quote, the Illuminist communist conspiracy under the direction of Beardsley Rummel, R-U-M-L. And, quote, they also launched Billy Sunday, as back in the early part of the 20th century, using the money on his evangelical revivalism, because they gave him a car, they gave him a house, they introduced him to mayors and governors, and that was the beginning of his downfall. That way they could control religion in this country and slow down evangelicals. But they launched Billy Graham in the late 1940s, early 1950s, the Rockefellers did, and Randolph Hearst, to integrate into the religious system. They funded Billy Graham with the same memorial fund. And for about 30, 40 years, saying the right words, re-evangelizing people, millions, gaining the confidence of those in the 1950s and 1960s, then to lead later in the 1990s, he did a switchover. Because the young youth at that time, 1990s, were being pulled away from the religious fervor of the 1940s and 50s. The baby boomers no longer were the deciding factor. Using the video games, using the drugs, using all that through that period of time to reduce the religious fervor of our population by the Humanist Manifesto was now, it was able for them to come out. Billy Graham says himself on an interview with Robert Shuler, you don't have to know the name of Jesus, but just know you need Christ. But it doesn't say which Christ. Certainly not Jesus, he says now. Used didn't say that. Now they are. The point is they're coming out now because the youth have been changed. But back to this philanthropic idea that they use. Roosevelt's Communist Manifesto, Emmanuel Josephson, 1955, tells it all out. And he actually, Rockefellers, had a chief Protestant philanthropy ran by kinsman John Foster Dulles. You ever heard of Dulles Airport? And actually, the Federal Council of Churches of Christ was pronounced by Naval Intelligence, 1936, to be one of the most dangerous, subversive institutions in the country. Not a good title to have. So if you had a title like that, what would you want to do? Well, I want to change it. And they did. They changed it to the National Council of Churches. So is your church a member of it? Then your preacher is controlled. That's how it works. They got you coming and going. So back to Ebola. So what's going on now? They got everybody scared of the Ebola. Everybody's talking about the Ebola. Now they got 80 to 100 people influenced with Ebola. Here come the vaccines. Now those that's listening, you say, oh, I'm not getting any vaccine because you already know about the chemtrails and the vaccines and all that. So you all that are, you know, conspiracy theorists and all that, you're not going to get the vaccines. My kid's not getting it and all that, you're saying. Yeah, not me. I have a cat. It's me and a cat. Okay, but, or I have some children around, they're older, but, you know, I tell them about this. One of them thinks I'm crazy. The other one says, oh, I know. You see how it works? So, they say, well, the ones that know about this, I'm not getting that vaccine. I'm not doing it. My kids won't get it and so forth. Okay. They've got a plan for that. Now, the ones that's not paying attention, which probably 90% of America's population, will get the vaccine when it finally comes out again. And you have enough fear going on. They'll already be counted off as dead, or the zombie issue. That's another story. I'm going to talk about that some tonight, I believe, about being possessed and about how it works with the supernatural realm. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. what the Ebola virus really does. But let's say that they kick it off, and if you're going to keep your job, if you're going to have your kid in school, you have to get the vaccine. Okay, for those that say, I ain't getting it, get my kid out of that school. You ain't going to get your vaccine. I'm coming to get you. Mm-hmm. They're going to have police at every school to make sure you can't get on the school grounds. And they will put you on that bus, and they will have a law against it because they'll declare a national emergency. That's how these people work. So those that don't get, if they actually declare this a national emergency with vaccines, Ebola virus, y'all going to die if you don't get this vaccine. Well, I'm not getting it. No problem. Get on the bus. Well, I'm not going to. It's under martial law. Get on there anyway, or we're going to shoot you. Now, the ones that do get the vaccine for their protection are going to be part of this agenda. They will be victims. That's why you need to get a close relationship with Jesus Christ and spiritual warfare to pray over this for your protection. It ain't about stopping it. You can pray, and if God wants to, or that's up to God. It's about your protection, your family's protection, your group's protection, your church protection. You get closer to the spiritual side of this. Because it's coming. Right now they're testing the panic value, the panic quotient. They tried to test the panic quotient in 1938 with Orson Welles and War of the Worlds broadcast on the radio. They tried to test the panic quotient with a particular broadcast on December 31st, 1999, when I think one named Jones or something was talking about Putin launching World War III in Russia. That never happened. They want to check your panic quotient of how involved you are, who's going to panic, who's going to riot, who's going to march, so they can make adjustments accordingly. They always test it. They make sure that their agenda is in line, it's ready to go before they ever launch it for real. Now, right now, they're going to target Texas. Because the appeals court in Texas, for example, allows Texas to enforce harsh abortion restrictions. So I imagine Ms. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is twisting in her undershorts, trying to figure out what to do and trying to get Texas to open up and say, man, release your restrictions on abortion, because they want abortion. It's part of the depopulation plan, family. This is why. But that's not the only reason. The number one reason that they're not telling you for abortion is, in fact, about human sacrifice for Wicca, human sacrifice for witchcraft, human sacrifice to bring about their new world order, is the purpose of abortions. Every abortion is nothing less than Mayan human sacrifice and Nimrod sacrifice of children, as has been all along. That's what war is for, is human sacrifice for that energy that's released, that evil, that energy, so the fallen angels can gather it and manifest in this world and to foment their evil, heading toward a new world order. That's the purpose of all this. That's why this prayer is so important. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Did Israel do that? No. And God, man, scattered them, destroyed Israel, Jerusalem in 70 AD, and they're scattered to this day. And the goal of the assignment, we'll call it, of bringing God's holy word, his only holy word to mankind, rested upon the Gentiles, Greeks, then the English. And you know why? Because English is a universal language. Hebrew, is God's language. It's not used in Israel. Some kind of jibber-jabber, gibberish, is being used in Israel today. God's going to take it down. He's going to bring the real Hebrews into power. But we'll all be grafted in, so everybody will be equal. But the real Hebrews, the 12 tribes, 144,000 will evangelize and bring out the real Jews. Not the fake ones they got in Israel today. And not under the fake symbol of the Star of David, which is witchcraft. And America, we're no better. We have 50 pentagrams on our stars and stripes. Sorry, but that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. We have to face the fact. We have to humble ourselves. Turn from our wicked ways. Seek His face so He'll forgive our sin and heal the land. This is why they're trying to feverishly get as many states to approve of same-sex marriage as they can. This is why they're trying feverishly to make abortion legal. It's why they're trying feverishly to bring child euthanasia, dignity to live, dignity to die policies in Oregon, so there will be branched out to other states and be made legal. So you can kill yourself legally, commit suicide, no problem. And your children can, and you can't stop it. That's what the International Rights of the Child are all about. When are people going to start putting these dots, connecting these dots and pray against them? If my people call by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. America will be protected against all of what's going on. But families, are going to happen? They're doing everything they can to stop it. His holy word was brought to us in the King James Bible. That's why there's going a major effort to take it down, to say that King James is a homosexual. King James is a pedophile. King James was a Freemason. King James a pedophile Freemason. King James was a homosexual and a Freemason. They can't make up their mind which is which. You see? And once they discredit King James, then they move to the next level of discrediting the Bible. They fell for 400 years. They try every which way, and that includes the Vatican. That includes preachers at First Baptist churches. That includes preachers at Presbyterian, Methodist, you name it. I'm not going to go in detail with this. You could spend an hour talking about what I'm getting ready to talk about. I'm going to spend a few minutes, though, that's all. You all want the details, you can go find it. And I mean that in love. I don't mean that in my typical sarcastic way. But there's a movement that goes back thousands of years called the Black Saturn worship of Satan. People don't talk about this much. I'm going to talk about it. Not much, because I don't have the time. I would if I wanted to, but I'm not going to right now. I'll talk about something else. But the Black Sun worship has to do with worship of Lucifer. Has to do with Saturn. Okay? The positions of the planets and the stars and whatever allow portals to open to allow these certain demonic entities, Satan, fallen angels, to come into this world and operate. That's the bottom line. Human sacrifice, disasters, weather that's produced by a harp, these kind of energy opens up those portals. CERN is synthetically how they do it. Getting ready to or already have. Okay. Well, in the Black Sun worship, for together the energy, human energy, the humans get together around the black cube. Does Mecca come to mind? Does the Judaic religion, where they have the little black cube in the forehead, above the pineal gland, your connection to God, with filter of a black cube to Satan, that the rabbis don't realize, or maybe they do? Oh, I know I've upset some people. But that's just the way it is. Because that's what it is. The cross is folded into a cube. It's called Black Sun worship of Satan, Lucifer. Now watch. When you go to Mecca, or you watch videos of Mecca, where all of them go around counterclockwise, thousands of them around this big old cube where allegedly Muhammad is buried or whatever. Oh, you mean he didn't come back to life? No. He's not a risen Savior? No. But Jesus is. But anyway, so they go around counterclockwise in a circle. Now, to me, that would be plain boring. But see, what's happening is they're all becoming possessed. They're all having an energy focused in that Luciferian worship right there is a ritual of Satan. Now, we know that Christianity is based on pagan background. Constantine, whatever his name is. In 325 AD, the Council of Nicaea wanted to control the Christians by creating Christianity. Being a Christian is not about Christianity. Being a Christian is about worshiping Jesus. That's it. Jesus, not a religion. So to contain and control the Christians, Constantine, who was pagan, said, I'm Christian, and I'm creating Christianity. It's like me saying, well, I like this part, and I like that part of this religion, that one, and I put it all together, put in a little book, and I say, well, this is a gambolist. I'm a gambler. I believe in gambolism, and if you go to my church, you're going to be a gambolist, you see. And people say, well, I like that religion because this, that, and the other, and so forth and so on. We cook marshmallows and have s'mores. I don't know, whatever. So you like that religion. So now you're a gambolist, you see. That's all they did to control. Well, all those souls together, all that energy working in unison is a worship of Lucifer. Christmas is a worship of Lucifer. Covered with Christ, but every ritual is based on paganism. Even in Easter, it's sneaky, tricky what they've done. Look at it before you turn off, before you think I'm crazy, you better look at it. It's satanic ritual, hidden. All right, here's my main point. That being said, it actually didn't dawn on me until recently. In these country churches, I never thought about this till just in the past 48 hours. It didn't dawn on me until now. When you go to these little country churches and they say, we use the King James Bible. Oh, okay, good. So you go there and inevitably these little side way out in the country churches, Pentecostal, whatever, they start speaking that tongues thing, no interpreter, that's got me getting ready to look for the door. And then they're getting all crazy, jumping over pews and all that while I'm on my way out. But in a lot of these country churches don't even do that. They'll inevitably, somebody will start running around, like power walking around the pews. Outside while the preacher's preaching. I'm like, that's when I first introduced to it about a year ago. I said, what? Okay, well, whatever. I guess I had a leg cramp or something. I don't know. And then I started realizing everybody's doing it. And in one church I went to, and I don't go back to these churches. That's just the way it is. The entire congregation was doing it, like a rumbo dance or something. And there's like five of us in the pews not doing it. And a woman's coming around with a megaphone. And I thought she was going to kick my butt if I didn't get up. And I said, ma'am, I ain't getting up. I said, hey, ain't going to happen. And I said, this is not where I want to be. Everybody's doing it, like the human chain thing going on. Counterclockwise. Around the pews while the preacher's carrying on and yelling. I'm looking for the door. I'm getting ready to head toward it. Pretty quick. Because it's not comfortable. This is happening in a lot of places. And just dawned on me the connection between worship of the black sun. That's what they're doing. This is demonic possession. Excuse me. They're being demonized. Now, goes back an hour ago, what I said, when I gave the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. What does it mean? Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Family, a born-again Christian cannot be possessed. So to get inside you, they must have you to curse yourself. You do that by yoga, practice, drugs, alcohol, other means, that tattoos and so forth, to put a curse upon yourself, allowing a demonic possession to be able to pull away is one way. But a born-again Christian cannot be possessed, but you can be demonized. The Bible confirms it. If you were born again, you say, well, I'm born again. Man, I'm done. That's it. I'm protected forever. You're not. The Lord's Prayer says you can be demonized. It says, do not deliver me from evil. That's coming from the outside in. It's called lust. It's called desires that are listed in the Bible. Where's it coming from? Demonic influence, not possession, but demonic influence. That's why you cover yourself in the blood of Jesus. That's why you should know spiritual warfare that they're not teaching in the churches today. So much so, they have removed the verses from the Bibles, except for the King James. Matthew 17:21 tells you how to deal with a stronger demon that's inside or demonizing you. It tells you how to get rid of them. Howbeit, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. They've removed that verse out of the Bibles on purpose, so you will not know. So that's why the 501c3, that's why the National Council of Churches tells the preacher, you will have them use the NIV Bible. And they have the Masons to watch over to make sure that happens. They've removed the word fasting out of Mark 9:50. Is that what it is? So you just know about prayer, but don't tell you about fasting. This is not by accident, family. This is serious. It's like me giving you a weapon to teach you how to fire, but I'm not giving you any ammunition. Ammunition. In King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 7:5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinencies. If you go to Matthew 17:21, they've removed that verse. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. They've removed that entire verse out of the Bibles. And in the new 2013 Bibles, other Bibles, they have a side note in Matthew 17:21. It says, been removed, but look down to footnotes. Oh, see, they're starting to pick up on it. This is carefully constructed by Westcott and Hort. And then later, they continue on when they publish other types of Bibles to keep it up to date to make sure they fool you. This is evil stuff, man. It's not accidental. It's not making it easier to read. It's to keep you dumbed down. Now, I'm looking right now in Mark 9:29. He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. In the same ones, they've removed the word fasting and left Mark 9:29. And it says, and he said unto them, this kind, meaning demons, can come forth by nothing but by prayer. They've left out the word fasting. Is that to make it easier to read? Or to keep you dumbed down? That's evil. Why would they remove it? I think there was a stop there that I disconnected. should be back on now. I had a disconnect there. It's back on. How about that? Isn't that amazing? Now, these are things they don't want you to know that I'm telling you right now. And you can be demonized. There's a break in my... there was a break there in my dialogue because I went back to 24-hour loop for about maybe 4 seconds. You can be demonized but not possessed. And there's a way to get out of it. Now, the articles I find that I put out and talk about are those that's going to affect you the most. And those are the ones I discuss and talk about for the most part. You got this one coming from Jonathan Kahn called Shemitah. Shemitah, author, answers critics and says judgment is coming. Well, he ought to know because he's part of the Illuminati. He's part of the Illuminati. So he writes these books because he's told them. They've told him what to do. That's where he puts them on Sid Roth. He puts them, makes articles, makes books. Because they're trying to fool you into thinking what's coming up is in the Bible. Too soon. And what to use is Jonathan Kahn for. And Hagee and Mark Blitz for this four blood moons. No four blood moons. There's one. That's the sixth seal. They're trying to use their technology, supernatural, whiz bang, smoke and mirrors, to fake the tribulations, to bring in the fake Jesus called Sanan d'Emmanuel. Family, we're real close to that. Real close. You see, we're close. I was going through some articles. Now, I came across several. The Ebola apocalypse may have just hit American shores. Here we go. See how they use the words? Connections. Then they have this thing called wearable technology. One step away from occupying you. I've talked about that many times before. About digital tattoos. So they get you used to seeing tattoos on TV. Get you used to seeing tattoos on the sports arena. Your kids see their heroes in football wearing tattoos on their arms. Tattoos are normal. So when they come up with a digital tattoo that's going to seek into your soul, which I've traced the technology back to 1973, they're way past chips. Way past microchips. They'll slap on a Batman tattoo on your child's arm and on the child's forehead. They won't be able to see that one. They do facial recognition. Has all your data on this digital tattoo. The one on your forehead will not have any symbols, but the one on your arm will have a symbol, and it'll be tacked into your soul, literally, to your energy force. Regina Dugan used to be with DARPA, now part of Google. Imagine that. Talks about it specifically. I'm not going to play it today. I always have, but I'm not going to do it today. About the digital tattoo. So first, they got to get you used to it. And then they snap you with it. And find a way to get into you. Also, watch out for Regina Dawn Akers. I was an apple. She's into this new age thing. Family, these people are good. They are good. They're going to hook and crook and bring you in. And they're leading you up to the new age movement. That's what it's up to. There was a kid recently, accused Pennsylvania stabber. You seen that kid? That accused Pennsylvania stabber? Rejected by psychiatric unit judge. You seen his face, that kid? all this is part of this ADHD drugs and so forth. I covered that yesterday. So if you go back to yesterday's yesterday's show, I talked in detail about the drugs being used. All this is about the Humanist Manifesto. And little by little, they try to break down our system. Cause fear. That's what it's all about. Religions are on the top of the list. Education, full steam ahead. Had an article I found called The Number of Sunday Assemblies or Atheist Churches More Than Doubled Over One Weekend. Putting it right on out there. And they're controlling it completely. But when you talk about the Humanist Manifesto, did you know that's in the Bible? They'll call it the Humanist Manifesto. But Isaiah 45:7, it says in there, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now they're bringing this verse out and saying, see there, your God creates evil. Your God is Satan. Our God is Lucifer. This is what they're using. It's how tricky they are. Now in the Humanist Manifesto, I'm going to cover that here in a minute. The Humanist Manifesto is everything is opposite as I covered yesterday and the day before. Humanist Manifesto, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. That's humanism. When I did the comparison of what biblically a principle was and then what the Humanist Manifesto said on it, it's opposite. It's a Humanist Manifesto right there. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's all right there. That is the Humanist Manifesto. Now, they're going to hit you with Isaiah 45:7. So your God creates evil. No, it doesn't. You see, God guided the Hebrews to take down entire towns in the Old Testament. Why did he do that? Because they were giants. They were hybrids. They were DNA abominations. He couldn't allow them to flourish. That's what was going on in the Old Testament. So at least we forget that the flood that killed millions saved eight. And the DNA. Noah and his wife, three sons, three wives. They didn't carry that corrupted DNA with them. Also, Sodom and Gomorrah. What'd God do? God don't mess around. I don't see a sense of humor in God. I imagine in some cases he might have to an extent. But we'd like to say that God has a sense of humor so I can lie a little bit. You know, God knows me. You know, he knows I'm just kidding. No. When you go against him and the commandments and being disobedient, he don't have a sense of humor. And you call that a sense of humor? I don't think that's a sense of humor. This was not evil. It was judgment. It was calamity. See, the King James Bible is, in fact, the perfect word of God. There's no others. So you have to know that God guided the authors and he guided the security. He guided the translation of his holy word into a universal language, given the Gentiles to finish up from Greek to English. If you work for the United Nations, and I worked for OSCE for 5 years in Kosovo, I worked with most everybody was international, and a few sporadic Americans were there, and I worked in the American sector in the eastern side of Kosovo. I was a security manager in eastern side of Kosovo in 1999 after Wesley Clark's boondoggle. So I saw what genocide was going on that we allowed. Anyway, I get to see all that happen. But I do know that those Europeans or anybody that wanted to get a job in the UN or OSCE, you could not get a job there as an expert of anything, unless you could speak English fluently. You had to be able to speak English. That was a requirement to get a job in the UN or OSCE, because English is a universal language. The King James Bible, translated from by King James, by 47 translators who were real scholars, were fluent in all those languages: Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Latin, and English. Perfectly fluent. And they were actually Christian. Not Christianity, but they were Christian. They were lovers of Jesus, lovers of God. And God would not pick and put his namesake on his word of God, his word, by someone he knew, because he knows the end from the beginning, that was homosexual. Or a pedophile. God would not bless them with the name, his name on his holy word. That's common sense there. Just itself. Don't be fooled by these people out there. King James, by his own admission, by his own letters, by historians, the only two real monarchs that were benevolent was Queen Victoria and King James, and that's it. Imagine that. So it was from Greek to English, and its fullness of the word came in the form of King James Bible. That's why they're going after it so hard. So the verse can then be understood that God did not create moral evil. It's not moral evil we're talking about here, although they're trying to get you to think it is. Franz Dietrich, Dietzsch, back in the 19th century, he died in 1890. He's a German Lutheran and a theologian and Hebraist. He said it best. He said, he points out that early Christian heretic Marcion and the heretical Valentinians and other Gnostic sects abuse that particular text, and what they do is teach that God of the Old Testament was a different being from the God of the New. They were different. So the problem, so evil in that case, is not moral evil, but calamity. Delitzsch said that undoubtedly evil is an act, is not the direct working of God, but a spontaneous work of a creature endowed with freedom. So, said another way, the contrast or comparison between light and dark, or between peace and calamity. So you have critics that draw the conclusion that what God permits, he is said to also create. That's not true. He didn't create dark. He created light. Absence of light gives you dark. He didn't create cold. He created heat. Remove heat, you get cold. It's the absence of. So the problem here is that the critics draw the conclusion, what God permits, then he's created. No. Yeah, it's not true. From the New Age, some think that light and darkness refer to two different principles. And in fact, Zoroastrianism and the Persians, yeah, reverend light and dark is two different gods. It's called duality. That's where the Freemasons get the black and white checkered floor in their Freemason lodge. It's a frequency vibration that goes on when they do the ritual. And to signify that, oh, you're going to love this, to signify that, they integrate their Masonic principles in your sports. It's what baseball is. It's a Masonic lodge, a Masonic symbol made out to be a baseball game. The compass and square is your baseball diamond. The G is the pitching mound. How about that? Doubleday was a Freemason that created baseball in the 1960s. When they score a touchdown, what happens? The referee runs up, blows a whistle, throws his hands up in the air, palms facing each other. That's a Freemason, third degree sign for exaltation, joy and exaltation. Third degree Mason. What the referee does when you do a touchdown. Yay! Hands go up. That's a Freemason sign. Well, on the track, racetrack, he's coming down the lane. He's moving 200 miles per hour. He hits the checkered flag. Oh, bingo. Yeah, see how it works? And you'll see the checkered black and white ebony and ivory. Is that familiar? In songs, in videos, TV shows. Now you know. Zoroastrianism, two gods, duality. Good and evil must be able to exist in each other. My Little Pony, the nightmare and the good pony or whatever. Witchcraft, now you got how it works? They're in perpetual conflict with each other. And so this being said in context of that particular scripture, Cyrus fought this religion. As Cyrus swept forward in his wars, there'd be peace for Israel, calamity for Israel's foes, right? God was the one who was supervising the entire operation, allowing it to happen for the reasons I mentioned. Evil's not always sin. It's calamity. See, they try to turn it around on you, don't they? That's what that's all about. So if you could, or if you or I could read fluent Hebrew, was reading a King James Bible, the Word of God fully developed in Hebrew, for Jesus' name, it would say Yeshua. If you're reading a King James Bible in translated in Chinese, it would read something like Yasu. And in English, it's called Jesus. You see? However, it's not the case. What they're trying to do now, and this is very, very important because it's getting ready to come in your life soon. And I'm letting y'all know now. What they're doing on a grand scale is a sacred name movement, or Hebrew roots movement, is the groups that are passing the name Yeshua to all the languages. That's his name when he was born. That's the name I'm going to call him. Well, let me tell you why they're doing that. See, the fake Jesus that's coming, named Sananda Emmanuel, is also calling himself Yeshua, or Yahuwah, whatever. Y-H-S-H-U-A. He's a fallen angel. He's also called an ascended master. He's also called Master Jesus. He's called Kalki Avatar. He's called the Imam Mahdi. He's going to be the Lord Maitreya. He's going to be the Christ. Bodhisattva. The Prince of Peace. He's got different names to be one. That's coming. It's called disclosure. And they're preparing you for that event that's getting ready to take place. This one is not Jesus of Nazareth. He's also the photo, the picture, the portrait is the one we think is Jesus of Nazareth. Is not this one. The one that we see is, we think is Jesus, excuse me, is Sananda Emmanuel, not Jesus of Nazareth. Nobody knows what Jesus looks like. A clue. He's got dark bronze skin. Why would he have dark bronze skin? Dark, very dark skin. Because he came from the Middle East. That's the real Hebrew Jews. Not blonde haired, blue eyed. Whoo, that's massive what I've just said. The real Jesus of Nazareth will come at the end of 7 years once the Antichrist takes over at Armageddon. He will come after the great tribulation, the seven trumpets, during the battle of Armageddon, and 7 years after the fake Yeshua and Antichrist make their appearance. And then comes the externalization of the hierarchy, as laid out, by Alice Bailey, which will lay way for the other fallen angels to come on this plane from all the death they're going to create from a third, fourth, and fifth seal. You got it now? They must prepare the way. So their agenda is then to discredit the King James Bible, discredit and lie about King James being homosexual, pedophile, Freemason, working with the Catholic Church, working with Sir Francis Bacon, working with Shakespeare, and blah, blah, blah. And the list just goes on and on with more false claims and combinations. And they just bring to the surface more existence of the UFOs. the alien, and the work with the so-called ascended masters. They're nothing more than fallen angels that's heading to hell. And everybody who follows them will end up going to hell also. And there's no stopping it. So they're trying to fool as many people, kill as many people, so they won't be saved by vaccines, by war, murder, suicide. Now you see what's going on today, the big picture. I don't look at this little petty stuff. Now, we can spend hours, if you want to, I don't want to, but we can spend hours talking about communitarianism. We can get on a radio here. I can say, okay, today we're going to talk about communitarianism, and we're going to emphasize the need to balance individual rights and interests with that of the community as a whole. We can talk about that. We can talk about and argue that individual people or citizens or whatever are really shaped by the cultures and values of their communities. Oh, we know that because that's what the Illuminati's done and Tavistock. And how they control people through the Iron Mountain Report and through manipulation of the politics that they control through the Council of Foreign Relations. Now let's talk reality here. Humanism. What's really going on? Communitarianism, very closely associated with the word communism. Communitarianism. Communism. Communitarianism. Huh. I don't think I could be in the spelling bee and spell them the same way twice. Marxism, socialism, and humanism. Notice the last part of it called ism. If it's got an ism, it's created by the Vatican and the Illuminati to confuse and deceive you. Every single time, bar none. No exception. A lot of people don't realize this. You see, the fundamental principle of the Satanic Illuminati is to divide the different races, religions, political groups, social classes, nationalities, and make them fight each other so they have become weak in manpower and ruined economically. And this plot leads them toward internationalism. There's a doggone word in ism again. And that will lead, and they'll physically combine the races, which they've already done, to make it complete. So, get us all busy about talking communitarianism. See, the philosophy of communitarianism started about in the 20th century. But this term, saying communitarian, was back in 1841. You had Brombey, some guy. John Brombey, I believe it was. And he's a leader of the British Clarists movement, the Chartist movement. He used it in reference to utopian socialists. When I discovered this, I said, oh, there's that word utopia. That word utopia rings of the New World Order. And there's other idealists that experimented with communal styles of life, and it's not until about 1980s that the term communitarianism really kind of gave some kind of headway. Small group of political philosophers. There's that doggone word philosophy again. Mostly American. Imagine that. And the application of the label communitarian was controversial in itself. Because in the West, the term communitarian has a socialist kind of association with collectivism and socialism. That's why I don't talk about this mess. Because I don't know where it's coming from. Your public leaders and some of the academics who champion this school of thought, they avoid the term to a certain extent, those that really know, communitarian. They still active, advocate and advance the ideas of communitarianism, but they try to stay away from using the term communitarian. You got different types. You got philosophical communitarianism, classical and ontologically, and then you got ideological communitarianism, radical centrist ideology, different movements, responsive communitarianism. We could talk about this all day long. Dorothy Day and the Catholic worker movement. Academic communitarianism, enlightenment, classical liberalism. Liberalism. That name comes popping up when you do the research on it. Enlightenment. Now, where have I heard that word enlightenment before? General Enlightenment philosopher Immanuel Kant. Family, these are all avatars. Michael Sandel, Charles Taylor. Enlightenment, liberalism. Now, where have I heard this term liberalism before? I have heard it before, you know. Well, Article 9, Paragraph 9 of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, you know, the World Revolutionary Movement created back in 1776 that leads you to Luciferianism later, death and destruction, you know, little things like that. Well, their plan in Article 9, Paragraph 9 of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion says this, I quote, "In order not to annihilate the institutions of the Goyim," we're the Goyim, the ones that's going to die, according to them, "before its time," let me say it again, "in order not to annihilate the institutions of the Goyim, before its time, we have touched them with craft, have taken hold of the ends of springs which move their mechanism. And these springs lay in a strict but just sense of order. We have replaced them by the chaotic license of liberalism." Ding, 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 ding. "And we've got our hands in the administration of the law, in the conduct of elections, under the press, the liberty of the person, but principally in the education and training as being the cornerstone of a free existence." How about that? In their own plans. They cover it over, call it communitarianism, confuse you all, we discuss it for an hour, and learn nothing. Accomplish nothing. Don't know what to pray against. Don't know how to march against, or, well, march, but go to your legislator to stop. But Texas apparently does. Texas has done a good job. Texas stopped the, back in 2007 or 10, that wacko Governor Perry was trying to pass the HPV requirement for young girls 9 to 12. To make it mandated, make it a requirement by law, state law. They had to have the HPV shot. What a killer. What a sneak. Palin and things she pulls off. Sneaky. Governor Perry. They're all sneaky. They're part of this agenda. Humanist. Every doggone one of them. Part of this agenda. Well, Perry failed. 2010. Perry failed. Because parents and others knew what was going down, stopped. After 2 months of him getting it passed through one loop, they stopped it cold, Texas did. He failed to make it mandatory. As I explained already, now you know why. Called depopulation, HPV, destroys young girls' lives. And the ones that hadn't immediately destroyed, it caused them to not be able to have babies. And the ones that have babies, they have miscarriages. Because of HCG. You understand how this works? Well, Texas did it. Texas doing it again, stopping the abortion thing. That's called real work. And not this silly, let's revolt, have a military take over the U.S. government like Rick Joyner and General Boink and the rest of them are talking about a military takeover. It never works because they work on both sides. Oath Keepers, Tea Party, your Wesley Clarks and Hillarys and Boykins and Rick Joyners, they work for the Illuminati. They work for the Vatican at the same time saying they're American. They are liars because of the oath they took for the Knights of Malta. There's no way around it. You see how it works? That's how Satan works. Up close and personal. So now we can spend the next 20 minutes talking about communitarianism and feel like we've learned something. We've accomplished nothing. That's the purpose of it. Because people are not connecting the darn dots. Same thing going on in churches today. Dr. Feelgood meetings. They walk out, don't know how to do spiritual warfare. Don't know how to fight the demonic realm. They don't know that the true Bible is the King James. How come a congregation, somebody there, a bunch of them, say, wait a minute. This boggles my mind. My NIV Bible is missing verses. They're not there. They're gone. It drives me crazy. And so someone would say, gosh, duh. You know, I want a Bible that's got all the verses there. What's the problem? So I'm going to go and say, hey, guys, you know what I found out? And they're going to say, what'd you find out? I found out this Bible here is missing over 200 verses. Really? Yeah. So then they're going to get together, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, whatever, and have a meeting with a pastor, right? You know, it's like it's going to happen, right? And the Freemason will say, we can't do that. And they're going to go up and say, Pastor John. And he's going to say, yes, I got to help you. We want a meeting. Okay, we can meet. We'll meet next Bible study. All right. They're going to say, we want this church to have the King James Bible because it's got all the verses in it. This shouldn't even be an issue to bring up. Anyway. Why can't they do that? And you say, well, we can't really do that because NIV, I'd love to hear the explanation for that one. Oh, I'd love to be a little mouth in the corner or something, listen to what he says. Better yet, I'd like to be a member of that committee and let him just sit back and watch him sweat, you know, and listen. I'd love to hear the answer. How do you justify that? How do you justify having a Bible that don't have the verses in it and the missing words like fornication just taken out? Why? Taking out the word Jesus. Why? Well, why? What's your explanation for that, Pastor? And put him on the hot seat, man, sizzling hot. Well, I don't want to do that. And you're going to say, well, really? Well, we want another pastor. How do you like that? Matter of fact, you do the preaching if you want, but we're changing it and we're going to make sure it happens because we're a committee that's going to make it happen. So preacher, you just to preach, but you're going to preach with the King James Bible. Whether you like it or not. That's what you do. Otherwise, you find yourself a new pastor. McDonald's hiring. So you see, when their church is going to stand up for their soul, what's it going to take to stand your ground? Demand you be taught the truth. Demand that you, I can't believe this. Demand you actually use the true word of God. You see, but that's what's going on. These Bibles are of Satan because they're missing. You ever read Revelation 22, 18, 19? You think God's forgotten about that verse? You add to it, don't add to or take away from the words of his scripture. He's got a very harsh punishment for that. You're taking out of the book of life. That's pretty harsh. Or in the time of tribulation, he's going to add to the plagues that's going to come upon those that teach out of that book. You're teaching a Bible study in Matthew 17:20, and you got to skip because there's no 17:21 there. That means you're not going to say anything about it. That's the plan. So the people will not know how to deal with the demonic realm. That's evil, man. That's total evil. So who's doing all this? Humanism. As it ism again. Humanism is as old as the Garden of Eden. But few know exactly what it is. They don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. They talk about it in college maybe. You just pass it off as nothing. Humanism controls your lives ever since this country was ever born. It's based on the protocols. Humanism is the way they do it. The idea of humanism replacing godism is seen in the Garden of Eden when Satan taught Eve that she'd no longer need God. She could be her own God, her own Amazon. She'd be like man. Man, you could be like God too. Both of you. Two gods in the same garden. A god her and a god it. Or whatever. And then do what she pleases after she got knowledge of her own. Because the god you're all worshiping or keeping you dumb. He's got you in prison here. Does that sound familiar? Called being demonized. Adam and Eve fell for it. But then that's what free will happens. But God knew this was going to happen. That's why throughout the Old Testament, he said, I have a Savior coming. God knew. But he has to give you free will so you'll love him unconditionally and freely. But it's got a double-edged sword to it. But he knew that already. Well, why didn't he just take it away? Well, because then you'd be a robot. It's like you trying to program a computer to say, or your GPS, you know, they have that on TV. You don't have it on TV where the guys, you know, have fallen in love with the voice of the GPS. Even it gets kind of weird, actually, don't it? That's another story. But you program it. Does it really, if you force your child, come over here, kid. What, daddy? You come over here and give me a hug. You come over here and give me a hug, I'm going to kick you a little. Get over here. Okay. He comes over. Is that really a real hug? Or is it when you're sitting there doing nothing, just doing your thing, and all of a sudden your little daughter or son or whatever comes up and tugs on your shoulder, what? And it says, I love you, or gives you a kiss just out of, for no reason. Just, there you go. Or your cat, in my case, cat, jumps up and jumps in your lap and starts purring. It's like, what? You want food or what? What do you want, cat? Well, God gave us free will to make that free will choice. Satan's trying to thwart it. And what's Satan using to thwart that free will? So you'll worship him 7 days out of the year. And God only one. And 1 hour at that. Am I starting to get to some people here? Am I trying to make some kind of, I don't know, make some kind of point? How does Satan keep you occupied with objectives that's documented? I can tell you exactly how he does it. The plan for humanity is divided into 7 branches of human endeavor. They have milestones. They have objectives. In politics, education, philosophy, all the art, science, everything in science, religion, and finance. Of those 7 areas, they have subdivided 6 additional areas in each one of them. Bilderbergs, Trilateral Commission, United Nations, Club of Rome, Council of Foreign Relations, Royal Institute of International Affairs. Excuse me. Royal Institute of International Affairs. And the Gorbachev Foundation. And who knows what else? The Council of National Policy is under the Council of Foreign Relations. Now you see how it works? And they pretend on TV that they're on your side. But every single one of them are part of this Humanist Manifesto, working for the Illuminati, working for the Freemasons. Freemasons are nothing more than just Shushan boys and Aaron boys for a higher level hierarchy. Men's written on the subject since the Avatar is named Plato and Aristotle, Socrates, Oh, yeah. But still, most people only think it means kind or humane, humanism. A better definition is required, so we're to understand the forces moving the world systems today. John Dewey, father of American education and humanist, and one of the ones planning the extraterrestrial hoax getting ready to happen soon. Back in the early 1900s, he had John Dewey. He signed the Humanist Manifesto. They have number 3 now that overrides 1 and 2, just makes it more evil. It's there. It controls your life. And that definition expressed by the Humanist Manifesto was given to us by no less than the man who's been called the father of modern American education, John Dewey. Before him was Horace Mann. He influenced teachers in Russia and Asia and Europe as well. Very influential, this man named Thomas Dewey, or John Dewey. The Humanist Manifesto revealed a large picture of the intent for education, which Dewey shaped up. The Rockefellers controlled religion. John Dewey, education. Is it starting to piece together here? It kind of shows a picture of what a government's doing, since it's been shaped so much by the graduates of this modern system of education. You know that the Department of Education didn't exist until LBJ, another evil individual, was president. And the department was never intended for the founding fathers. They didn't even want their children fed by the government. However, the founding fathers were themselves deists. They were infiltrated by the Fabians and by the European Freemasons, Order of the Garter. And George Washington, he saw it happening. And so did John Adams. The others just fell in line, like Thomas Jefferson. He supported Adam Huysmans. Loved the death in the French Revolution. He was eating it up, Thomas Jefferson. You know, John Dewey had great influence in the National Education Association in reshaping America's schools. Influence of the generations of philosophers. But let me tell you something, though. We're coming to the end of the program today. But let me tell you something. They've had their time. They've set all this up, causing the fear, but it is impossible for them to even win. It's not possible. They're going to try to cause you confusion by the Hegelian dialectic, throwing things in your face like Ebola virus, a falling meteorite, Fukushima. They're going to start killing people in schools to panic people, activating their agents and so forth. The idea is to cause fear. Family, Jesus Christ already won on the cross of Calvary. It is going to become supernatural in the future. There's a financial readjustment of some type they have in the plans. Could be even before the October 15th. It's hard to say. It don't matter what they got. God's already in control of it. That's the thing I want to try to get across to you. It don't matter what they do. It don't matter what they say. It don't matter what they got planned out. It's impossible to outthink the creator of this universe. That's the main point. I've told you how they operate, what you stay away from, pray against, expose, whatever. But to know that the one you serve has already won. What we're doing now is counting the casualties of those who reject Jesus Christ. By taking lists of missing verses, the NIV, to your preacher and passing out to other people, you probably won't be at the church anymore, by exposing the false Bibles, exposing the missing verses, forming prayer groups for people, not laying hands, not holding hands, all that stuff. but praying to the Spirit through Jesus Christ, to God, through Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, and using the true Word of God, praying for each other. No matter what the color your skin is, they're going to try to separate you. And by doing that, they try to bring people together, but under a wrong banner. They cause the violence, so you'll come together, and under a wrong banner. The banner we come under is Jesus Christ. That's it. They don't like that. Learn spiritual warfare. Study it. Generational breaking, generational curses. You can learn it. If I can learn it, you can learn it. You can do anything I can do. I'll lead Bible studies. Oh, by the way, Bible study tonight, 8 to 9. Also reminds you, by the way, that our broadcasts are played up in New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey under John Kirkler's HighPointRadio.net. And he has agreed to play our broadcast and Bible studies on his network in those three states. And he has sponsors, and I just mentioned it for him. And then, of course, if you live in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, to look up his website. If you got things you need to get done in certain those areas, and you find a sponsor and use a sponsor and so forth. And, you know, I promise to do that. That's what I do. Mention that. That's it for me. Because I don't get any business with nobody. I don't like commercial breaks. That's the problem I got now with the network I do on Mondays. But I don't like commercial breaks. I like to speak straight through. I don't really do commercials. I don't support any of that stuff. So I'm just here to support the Word of God. That's it. Well, family, we're coming to the end of the program, and I'll have this program today. I know I've kind of been all over the page today, but I've given you shots of things today that if you go back over them, you can expound upon them. But my goal today was to bring up humanism. My goal today was bring out how Satan works, how he uses people over us to control us, and what to pray against, that you can do things in your church. You can do things in your schools. You can do things in the political realm when you band together under the right. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You see? And where the fear is coming from is being generated to cause you fear. So you'll lose that sight. Y'all have a good weekend. Great weekend. You have a great weekend. And use this time to reflect, to fast, to pray, to build your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Get you a King James Bible. These other Bibles irrefutably are corrupted beyond measure. And they're being promoted. King James being put down. Why would they do that? Why not put down the rest of them? Because the King James has got power. And the name of Jesus has power. Literally, supernatural power. But it must be generated with faith. You must have faith in that name of Jesus. Well, family, my website, watchmanforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And visit those if you'd like and participate. Any suggestions, I'm always open for them. I must go now. And y'all have a great weekend. And we'll see you then Monday. Tonight, 8 to 9, Bible study if you choose to. And Monday, provided everything works. We're still in the air. Till 4 to 6, we hit the ground running. That's what I do. Haven't stopped yet. Don't intend on stopping anytime soon until I'm dead or can't breathe and or I run out of electricity. So you have a great weekend. Good night and God bless. This is The Watchman, signing off.
There you go. sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.